Good evening. Thank you for coming. Yes. And I'm thanking the Lord that he is here tonight. Amen. His presence is here and his power is here. And I thank him for that. So Lord, I just thank you that you are faithful and you are good. And Lord, we just want to bask in your presence tonight. We want you to have your way. And Lord, I ask that you would just speak through me. Let the words of my mouth, Lord God, and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, Lord God, as I bring forth your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So last week, a couple times the Lord had mentioned the word freedom to me, a couple scriptures, and it was kind of confirmed even in the prayer room on Sunday, and then again Monday through a video I was watching. So that's what I'm going to talk about, a few things on what the Lord showed me. And in John 8:36, it says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." So it doesn't matter what anyone is like. I'm talking about before you're a born-again Christian. When you turn your life over to God, he will make you free. He makes you free. He makes us all free. John 19:30 says, "When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, the Strong's exhaustive concordance for bowed is also called stoop." So in John 8:6 in the New King James, it says, they said to try to test him, hoping they might find a charge on which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. A woman had been caught in adultery, and the scribes and the Pharisees took her to test Jesus, to question him. And in verse 5, they said to Jesus, "Now Moses and the law commanded us that such women shall be stoned to death. But what do you say to her? What is your sentence?" And in that moment, it says, Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. So in John 19:30, Jesus said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Another one of the Strong's exhausted concordance for bowed is stoop, but it's also bowed down. So in verse 7, it says, when they persisted with their question, it says, he raised himself up and said, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." So Jesus, when they questioned him, he stooped down, which he did also on the cross when he bowed his head, but now he raised himself up to respond to them. So for me, to me, it was a way of showing his grace towards this woman, his saving grace towards her. John 10:17-18, it says, "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power or authority to lay it down and have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." So Jesus had the power to raise himself up because Jesus was more than just flesh. He was or is the eternal Son of God, incarnate, which is the divine deity embodied in human form. So even though he hadn't died yet, it was still, he stooped down, and then it says he raised himself up again. So in John 8:8-11, it goes on to say, "Then he bent or stooped down and went on writing on the ground with his finger. They listened to him, and then they began going out, conscience stricken, one by one, from the oldest down to the last one of them," this is the Amplified, "till Jesus was left alone with the woman standing there before him in the center of the court. When Jesus raised himself up, he said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned you?" She answered, no one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. So go on your way, and from now on, sin no more." These Pharisees tried to test Jesus, but Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. The same finger that, because they were questioning him with the law of Moses, but with the same finger that wrote on the ground in front of these Pharisees was the same finger that wrote the law of Moses. When Moses went up to heaven, he wrote, so here he's writing in the ground, and now he also wrote the law of Moses. He stooped down, and he also raised up again, and it says that twice in there. So Exodus 31:18, it says, "And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God." And we know Jesus is God in the flesh. So Jesus wrote the law. In Luke 24:44, "Then he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.'" So he knew. He knew already when they came to him and questioned him. He wrote the law, so he knows, you know, what they were up to and how to respond. And also in Colossians 1:16, it says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." So Jesus told the woman to go on her way and sin no more. Now in Galatians 5:1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, it's not so that I'm saying that God punishes people that don't turn to him. They will be punished with eternal hell, okay, eternal damnation. But for those of us who are in Christ, that's not what I'm saying here. But Deuteronomy 5:9-10 says, "God said, 'I do not leave unpunished the sins of those who hate me, but punish the children for the sins of their parents to the third and fourth generations. But I lavish my love on those who love me and obey my commands, even for 1,000 generations.'" So what I'm saying is past sins from people in your family line, sometimes those sins can get carried down or passed on to us, okay? So, for example, if someone struggles with alcohol, maybe a grandparent, and maybe you struggle with alcohol, well, it can be even pornography, abortion. I know someone, even now, who's had multiple abortions, and that's a demonic thing. I know sometimes it can be us, but a lot of times, things that get passed down, it becomes a bondage to us, and it can, we need to be free. That's why Pastor and Marianne have their healing and deliverance thing, you know, because we need that broken off of us. Well, I've noticed with me, myself, a behavior that has followed me since I can remember as a little girl. I've always had this thought about myself for a long time. And up until recently, like real recent, because something had happened and I thought, you know, why are people responding to me this way? Well, I recognized that it was a bondage. It's a bondage that wherever it entered in, whether it was from generations past or just it came in on its own at some point in my life, it was there. And it's kept me in that bondage for all these years. And the Lord showed me that. And So I've asked him, you know, to that I don't want that anymore in my life. I don't want anything to do with the enemy, you know, and having his way in me. So I believe I am set free now from that pattern. And it can be a pattern of behavior, or it can be something you can't shake. Sometimes it's there, and sometimes it's not there. But it always, once in a while, pop its ugly head up. And we need to recognize that. Because even though we can be Christians, born again, spirit-filled, that doesn't mean the devil can't oppress us or influence us. And so God wants us free. God wants us free from those patterns or from that bondage, because it's a bondage. It's sin. It is sin. Whether it came from generations ago, it's still sin, because he said he would punish the sin to the third and fourth generation. You know, they would be cursed, but he would bless those who would turn and be obedient, and then he would bless them for 1,000 generations. So we need to watch for that. We need to watch ourselves. We need to look for those patterns. Look for those, because the enemy wants to keep us there. He doesn't want us to be free. But Jesus said, stand fast in the liberty for by which Christ has made you free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And sometimes those past sins can have such an influence on us that we don't recognize them, but we get entangled with them because they're constantly present. It's a constant battle. And so we need to be free of it. And we can pray that ourselves, or we can go to Pastor Marianne, or to another brother and sister in Christ, for that matter. You know, that's why we need each other, you know, relationships, so we can, you know, because iron does sharpen iron, and we need to encourage each other. So, or it could be even depression. Maybe somebody in your family line had depression, and that can get passed down. So when I mean patterns, it's like you can have depression, but then first it can start out with rejection, then depression, and then it can lead to suicide, you know. But we are the temple of the Lord, and we have to let the enemy know that there's a new sheriff in town, and that's Jesus. And he doesn't have any rights to us no more. It doesn't matter whether someone in your family did this, that, or the other. We need to recognize it, and we need to be done with it. We need to be finished with it and get past all that. So, now I have no idea, because I said all that. But evil spirits will cause confusion. They're lying spirits, and they're trying to get you to believe a lie to keep you in that behavior. And then it can cause you to be entangled again. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:5, God in his mighty power will protect you. Some translations say that they are kept by the power of God through faith until you receive salvation, because you're trusting in him. So God protects us. That's why he makes us aware of these things, because he's protecting us. He doesn't want us to be in that bondage. He wants us to be free. So even though I'm in my 30s, no, everybody knows I'm 50s, in my 50s. I'm in my 50s. We need to be free. God wants us free, you know. Maybe I wasn't ready at the time, but he brought it to my attention now. And it's like, thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are making me free now from that. Because he wants me stable. He doesn't want me, you know, behaving the way, you know, whatever it is, you know. So the enemy cannot touch those who are kept by the power of God, those who have received salvation. Because at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes in and he lives on the inside of every believer. So the enemy cannot possess a believer, but he can oppress us and he can influence us in different ways. He's looking for vulnerable sheep. And those who wander away from the sheepfold, when you wander away from the fold, you have no protection. So we can't let those things discourage us, you know, and or feel sorry for ourselves. Get rid of it. You know, get rid of the pity parties, or if there's a spirit of pity, I ask the Lord about that, even with myself, you know, get rid of it. That's not of God. It's not of God to feel sorry for yourself, and especially if it's a constant thing, you know. So we can't stay away from the sheepfold. We have to stay with the sheepfold. A wandering behavior of sheep, flocks, and I looked this up, it can vary, and it's based on their environment and management practices. So sometimes, in Psalms 27, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary, and he will place me out of reach on a high rock. So we're to be in his presence. That's how we stay protected. We stay in the presence of God. We stay in the sheepfold with the other sheep. We don't wander outside of that. David wandered from the Lord and later repented, and he prayed, "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." So we have to recognize the enemy's tactics to pull us away from leaving us vulnerable. Our management practices are to resist the devil, being steadfast in faith, and that's 1 Peter 5:9. And it's staying in the Word, filling yourself up when you're at home, you know, listening to sermons online, or pray, going to church, being with other believers. That's our management practices, you know, staying with God. God has given us the authority to break off any spiritual influence that keeps us in bondage. We can also pray that the devil's plans of attacks against us are thwarted. It's so important for all of us to know and understand the power of God and its availability to us who believe, so we don't have to stay this way. We can be free. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives in us and is now at work in us. And everything that has been put under the authority of Christ has been put there for the benefit of the church. So he gave us that benefit. In 1 Peter 1:13, it says, "So brace up your minds, be sober, circumspect, morally alert." That means gird up your loins of your mind and keep them girded. Gird means to stay prepared. Equip yourself. Put on the full armor of God on a daily basis. And then in 2 Corinthians 3:17 is the last one, and it says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty," or there's freedom. So the Spirit of the Lord gives us freedom. We're under a new covenant of grace with Jesus Christ. So we don't have to be afraid. We can come boldly before the throne of grace to God and be forgiven for whatever we do, you know. But he also wants to set us free. We're free from sin and condemnation. We can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord, even when we're not yet forgiven. God's glory is still in us. As believers, we just have to make sure that we do get things right before God. And as the Spirit of the Lord works in us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more and more. So God never looks down on us when we make mistakes. He doesn't abandon us to our fleshly ways. Instead, he lovingly corrects us by putting us back on the path he has set for us. But we always need to seek him out. We need to ask him to examine our hearts and make sure that we are free from bondages, you know. Or if you see a pattern in your life that you... Sometimes we can get so distracted that we don't think. We're just so used to things that we're not really focused on what's really happening. And I think that's with me, even though over the years I've recognized this, but I didn't do anything about it. But till the other day, it was like, wait a minute, you know, this is not from God, you know. It was just like my eyes were opened. So anyways, I just want to encourage you guys in to get out of bondage if you have something there and to be free. So let's just pray. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father God. We give you all the glory and honor and praise. We worship your holy name. We thank you, Lord God, for your promised Holy Spirit who comes in us and works in us, Lord God, that we can be more and more like Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, that even through your word, Lord God, that maybe someone would recognize, Lord God, a pattern or something in their life, Lord God, that, hey, this isn't right. You know, I shouldn't be behaving this way. Or maybe it's something else, Lord God. Lord, I just ask that you would reveal that to these people, Lord God, and that they would know, Father God, they can go to you directly, or they can go to anyone in the church, Lord God, that would pray with them, and they can be free, Father God. It's not hard, Lord God. We don't have to make it hard, Father. We just need to go to you and ask, Lord God, to be free. And Lord, I just thank you, Father God, that you are fine-tuning us. Fine-tune our senses to you, Lord God. Make them right. Like, I know Pastor said something on Saturday, Lord, or Sunday, about sometimes we get in the static zone. Father, fine-tune us so we're not in that static zone, Lord God, but we can hear you clearly, Father, and that you will cause us to hear and obey and be obedient to what you want us to do, Father God. I just give you glory and honor and praise, and I thank you, Lord God, for all these people in Living Waters Chapel, Lord God. I pray for every one of them, Lord God, that you are blessing each one, Lord God, and you are drawing each person closer and closer to you, Father. That your will is being done, Lord God. That we can go out among this city, Father God, and let the light and the glory of Jesus shine through us. I thank you, Lord God, that you have plans, good purposes for this church, for this body. And I thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do in the days ahead, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. We just give you glory and honor and praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just praise him. Thank you, Jesus.